command performance USA. The greatest entertainers in America is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command performance. Presented this week and every week till you're back from over there. Well, hiya, gang. Now pull up an ear and sit down for a super-duper command performance. Yes, sir, one solid hunk of solid stuff dedicated to Army Day and answering many of the requests you've sent into Command Performance, Los Angeles, USA. Here to get things going is one of the most requested requestees you requesters have requested. So many requests have come from your requesters requesting this... I know, I got myself into something. You know who I mean. Here he is, Bob Hope.
Save a little. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Command Performance, in honor of Army Day Hope, telling you boys overseas that whether you're a private sergeant or a captain, no matter what your label, keep wearing that smile, and if you meet a Mabel and promise a Sable, she'll swallow the Sable and you'll have an adventure like Garson and Gable. Garson and Gable. Isn't that wonderful the way they're advertising that picture? Gable's back and Garson's got him. You should see the way they're advertising my new picture. Hope's back. Who wants him? And they got a letter from Lassie. But anyway... Don't you go. Tonight, anyway, we're celebrating Army Day in honor of the day the United States Army was founded. Of course, with every war, the Army increases in size, and then after the war, it shrinks back to normal again. Like Crosby getting in and out of his girdle. And back here, we're beginning to notice quite a few ex-servicemen around Hollywood with those discharge buttons in their lapels. Yes, sir, everywhere you look, you see homing pigeons looking for blonde, shapely quail. Thank you, bird lovers. My brother just got out of the Army. And it took him quite a while to get out. He'd forged so many three-day passes, he'd forgotten his right name. He's got a lot of medals, a Silver Star, six Oak Leaf clusters, and a Flying Cross. He really had to work to win them, too. The other guy's dice were loaded. And he brought a lot of his Army customs home with him. I wouldn't mind, of course, but he looked so silly sitting there in the tub taking a bath in a tin cup. This will play great out in the thing, you know what I mean? And the Army must have given him some wonderful combat training. He's charging at every store in Hollywood. He said, it's my fault. I don't know whether or not it's my fault, but it's sure on my account. He really, it's sure on my account. Jews. But he really can't forget that Army. He went into a store the other day to buy a suit, and the salesman said, care for a pencil stripe? And my brother said, what's that, a new kind of rating? Stepping up to the CP microphone is a girl who's made a habit of stepping up to the CP microphone and singing the songs you like to hear, the way you like to hear them. It's Two Fly Pie by your own Dinah Shore.
And daddy makes your eyes light up. Your tummy say howdy. Two fly pie and apple pan. And daddy, I never get enough of that candy food. You fly pie and apple pan. And daddy makes the sun come out when heavens are cloudy. You fly pie and apple pan. And daddy, I never get enough of that wonderful sun. Mama, when you say mama, I don't want cake, mama, for my sake, go to the oven and make some lemonade. she flies high. An apple pan, Dottie, I never get enough of that. Wonderful stuff.
A kick to me, gang, to present our next command performance guest. Because she's not only one of America's greatest actresses, but she's a wonderful person and a regular gal, Betty Davis. Welcome to command, Betty.
Thank you, Dinah. It's a pleasure to be here. You can do me quite a big favor.
Oh, certainly, Betty. What is it?
Could you introduce me to Bob Hope?
Betty, Betty, would you really would like to meet Bob Hope? Are you sure?
Don't worry, Donna.
Well, all right, it's your idea. Bob Hope.
Stop hollering. I've been gnashing my fangs for 10 minutes.
Bob, this is Betty Davis, and she's been very anxious to make your acquaintance.
Yes. Yes, Bob, I have something on my mind.
Me too. Let's get out of here, huh?
Oh, brother, I can't bear to watch this. I'm leaving.
Howard.
Bob, Bob, I'm afraid you misunderstood me. I really have quite a problem.
So have I. Let's get out of here. No, wait a minute. What? What is your problem, Betty?
Well, my next picture is going to be a musical. I need a leading man. He must be very good-looking, tremendously talented, and have loads of appeal for women. So, naturally, I came to see you.
Well, gee, thanks.
I felt sure you could recommend somebody. Choice for my next lead is just narrowed down to two men.
Two men?
Yes, Crosby and Sinatra.
Well, go on. So far, you got a man and a half. And I'm not sure which is the half.
Decision to make, Bob. Shall I take Crosby or shall I take Sinatra?
Well, which do you want? Flesh or fantasy?
Oh, Bob, I've got to have your advice. Please tell me honestly, what do you think of Crosby? I think he's simply marvelous, wonderful, and divine.
Well, I'm glad you asked me.
And now I want your honest opinion of Frank Sinatra.
Well...
Isn't he, though? Yeah. Such a boyish smile. You know, he brings out the mother in everyone.
Not in me. Well, Betty, what do you want with a guy like Sinatra when I'm around?
Bob, Frank Sinatra has more talent in his little finger than you have in your whole nose.
You really like him, huh?
Oh, I think he's solid.
You do? Did you ever tap his chest?
You know, that's a lot of propaganda. Frank Sinatra isn't really a weakling at all.
Oh, no. Did you ever watch him play with a yo-yo?
No. No, why?
The yo-yo stands still and Frankie goes up and down.
Well, you can pan Sinatra and Crosby all you please, but one of them is going to be my next leading man. And I've invited them both down here to audition for the part.
Oh, that's silly, Sinatra and Crosby. Why don't you take me for your leading man, Betty? Forget about Breathless and Hairless.
No, Bob, my mind is made up.
But you need more than just a singer, Betty. You need a great lover. Why, when I kiss a girl, it's murder.
I know, and I'm too young to die.
You call kissing Sinatra living? But honestly, Betty, don't run away from it. But honestly, Betty, don't run away from it. You'd only reconsider, after all, what is Crosby anyway?
Don't nobody answer that.
Well, how you doing?
We were beginning to worry about you.
Really?
Yeah, we were afraid you might show up.
You're associating with some strange people lately, Betty. You doing a little social welfare work or something?
This is no time for a battle of wits, and you're not the boys for it anyway.
What'd you bring, your own writer or something? What is that?
Where's Sinatra being? I thought you were coming over together.
Oh, I couldn't carry that boy another block, too.
Bing, that's no way to talk about a nice boy like Frank.
That's right. Frankie looks that way because a very tragic thing happened to him in his youth.
No, I never knew that.
That's a terrible thing.
What was it?
When he was 3 days old, his mother tied his bow tie too tight.
Not tight enough.
Say, when does this audition start? When do we... That's your laugh, you silly boy. So used to stepping on mine, you just get in there, don't you?
You're alone in there, you're dancing with somebody. What is it?
What time do they pump you up today? When does this audition start here?
The audition starts in a little while. Take it easy.
Well, I'd like to get started. I've got about 19 songs I brought here I'd like to sing.
Bing, this is an audition, not a filibuster.
Well, I just thought I'd... What's the matter with her?
I think she just scented Sinatra. I'm starting the point. Where here he is now. Everybody.
Hello, Frank. I'm awfully glad you got here.
Yes, every once in a while, one of those long shots comes in. How are you, Frank?
How would you know?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Crosby. Please, please, Frankie, no formality. Just call me Bing.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dream of calling a man of your age by his first name.
This boy is begging for rigor mortis.
Boys, it's practically time for the audition to start.
I'm ready. How about you, Fatty?
You talking about it?
Are you talking about me, Atlas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yeah, that's so.
Yeah?
Yeah. How come I don't get any of that clever dialogue?
Have no more fighting.
Well, he called me names.
You started it.
I did not start
you
it.
You did.
Yeah, my old man can lick your old man.
Yeah, my old man can lick your old man.
Well, my kids can lick your kids.
Sure. You got them outnumbered.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, you two. We're here to decide which of you is going to sing with me in my next picture. And we're going to hold the audition right now. And to make sure the decision will be honest, Bob Hope is going to be the judge.
I was wrong!
Why, Bingsy, do you think I'd do anything that wasn't absolutely on the up and up? Do you think I'd dishonestly let Sinatra win this contest when a lousy $5 could swing it your way?
Okay, Frank, let me have five, will you?
Okay, Meredith.
There's a doctor living in your town. There's a lawyer, an Indian too. Neither doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief could love you any more than I do. There's a barrel of fish in the ocean, a lot of little birds in the blue. Neither fish nor fowl, said the wise old owl, could love you any more than I do. No, no, it couldn't be true that anybody else could love you like I do. I'm gonna warn all the dead-eyed dicks to hear the chick with the slickest trick. And if the chick of my dick is kick for you, why don't you follow through? Tell the doc to stick to his practice. Tell the lawyer to settle his case. Send the Indian chief and his tommy hot. Send back a little rain in the face. As you know, no, no, it couldn't be true that anyone else could love you like I do.
Really wonderful, right, Frank?
Yeah, you're sure right, Betty. You're a great thing. What a voice. What quality. What tone. What feeling. What malarkey. Seriously. Seriously, Bing, you are a great artist. Too bad there isn't room for you and Sinatra.
Now, take it easy there, Robert.
No, don't shelter me from the truth, Frankie. After all, youth must have its fling, and you're one youth that anybody can fling.
See, you know, Bing, it's pretty tough at that. I mean, you have to face the possibility of stepping down from your pinnacle to face the twilight of your career.
No, I don't know. There's still a few volts left in the old battery thing.
Yeah, but you're getting a charge more often since Sinatra came along. Not bad
for a late lad,
you know. Yes, it would be a shame to step down after you've worked so hard, Bing. I mean, getting up every morning before dawn and dressing in the dark.
What makes you think I dress in the dark?
Well, naturally, you wouldn't put those clothes on if you could see them.
You don't care for this little ensemble, boy?
It's rather clever.
I thought I looked rather sharp.
Yes, you do, in a sewer sort of way.
Good snoot. You keep out of this or I'll hit you with this crooner here.
Yeah, sure.
You mean you're going to toss marshmallows around here?
How do you don't like my coat? This is Scotch Mist.
They certainly did.
I hate to break this up, gentlemen, but we're here for an audition. So if you don't mind, Frank, we'd like to hear a song.
Okay, Betty, I'd like to sing this number especially for you and for Bing. You see, it's a song that's liked equally well by both generations.
Well, what about me?
It was just a neighborhood dance. That's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a masquerade ball with costumes and all. 'Cause you were at the dance with me. It was just a ride on a train. That's all it was.
But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a trip to the stars, to Venus and Mars, 'cause you were on the train with me. And when I kissed you, it was more than just a thrill for me. It was the promise, darling, of the things that fate had willed for me. It was just a wedding in June. That's all that it was. But oh, what it seemed to be. It was like a royal affair, with everyone there, 'cause you said, yes, I do, to me.
Great, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. That was wonderful.
Yes, Frankie, that was grand.
Yes, I can't get over the way you've improved, Frank.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Why, a few years ago, you were an unknown who couldn't sing a lock. Today, they know you. But, wait for my roars. Please, boy. You sing. I have to get yaks, you know. Well, Bob, what else? Whatever I am today, I owe to Crosby, being I've been listening to your records for years.
Where, at the police station?
I paid him out!
Really, have you, Frankie? Really?
Hmm? Yes, being in... And
put that up for you.
And the very first time I heard you sing, I made up my mind I was going to be exactly like you.
Well, that's very flattering. And in all sincerity, Frank, I want to tell you that you have a great voice. When I listen to you sing, I wonder how all that beautiful music can come out of a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
Well, at least I have a hank of hair.
What did he say? I have a hank of hair. The audition is over. Crosby sang, Sinatra sang. Bob, the decision is now up to you.
Well, after all, I've been associated with Crosby for years. I know just how good he is. There's only one decision I can make, Sinatra.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you say Sinatra?
That's what I said. That's what the man said. He sure said that, boy.
Hope, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Huh?
You ignore a wonderful, fine singer like Crosby and pick a skinny little squirt like me.
Okay, Bones, if you feel that way about it, I'll pick Crosby.
Oh, what are you going to do? You're going to turn down a really great singer like Sinatra and pick a fat old geezer like me?
Get me out of here. I want to look for Dick Haynes.
Well, this is a fine thing.
Great.
I come down here to choose a leading man, and I'm going to have one, whether he's a fat old man or a squirt.
Well, how about me?
I don't want both.
Hit me with a roster. I'd like to start over, too. Say, look, what's wrong with you guys? You had a contest, and I named Sinatra the winner. Why don't you abide by my decision?
I don't want any of your decisions. I'm mad at you.
You are a mad one, aren't you? Why are you mad at me, boy?
Well, for what you do to my pal Bing every Tuesday night on your program. You tell people his horses can't run, his adenoids need simonizing, and that the stork visits his house every week. You shouldn't say those things, even if they are true.
Yes, do me a favor. Stay off my team, will you? Get off.
But, Bing, I'm your pal. I'm your chum, your bosomless pal.
You mean it, Frankie?
Well, of course I do. It's us against the world, Bing. We'll stick together through thick and thin.
Yes, we will, Finn.
You said it, Thick.
Maya, you're muck. Franklin, you don't know what you mean to me.
Inform me, Dad.
You're the top. You're the boy who hustles. You're the top. Though you've got no muscle, you're the guarantee that a chickadee will move. You're a high school thriller, Bobby Sox killer, the boys of the smooth.
Frankie, you know, it's the other way around. You're the top.
Tell me about it, Jack.
You are the head canary.
Isn't he sweet?
You're the top. Though your top ain't hairy. You're the baritone who has held the throne with ease. You're the choice of sages to all the ages. You're the voice of cheese.
You know, they could slip you in between a couple of pieces of Russian rye and you'd never be missed.
Wait a minute, you two insincere men. You guys have some nerve. You want to know who's the top? I'll tell you, Playboy.
I'm the top. Get this.
I'm a real crowd pleaser.
Isn't this awful? Isn't this awful?
No, you're not.
You're just a toothpaste squeezer.
And a total wreck.
I'm a worthless check.
A flop.
And so fellas, that leaves Davis still on top.
Good evening, friend.
It may take just a bit more concentration. I'm from the eminent maestro Spike Jones and the City Slickers.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always the sweetest rose and crush it till the pain.
Now, excuse me there, Mr. Calcration. I'll tell this little girl all about this here situation. Now, honey child, you know that you always seem to break the, well, the very kindest thought of our hearts with a hasty word that you just can't seem to recall. Honey child, honey baby, honey doll, honey lamb, honey pie, honey sugar face. Now, if, now mind you, I says, if this boy done broke your heart last night, honey child, honey baby, honey doll, honey pie, honey sugar face, it's because he loves you the most, the Lord.
Because I love you most of all.
favorite vocal groups with one of the numbers you've requested over and over again. It's Chicory Chick, as sung by those ever-loving Andrews sisters.
Once there lived a chicken who would say, chick, 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 chick. Soon that chick got sick and tired of just chick, chick. So one morning he started to say,
chickery chick, chilla chilla, chickle a romay in a balalaga, balalaga, wallaga, can't you see? Chickery chick is me. Chickery chick, chilla chilla,
Bingo.
What now, old comic one?
What a disdainful note and disdainful voice.
Oh.
I said it, and I'm not happy.
Seriously, Harold, Command Performance has a big Army Day honor for you, and I get to share it.
Robert, it's my one wish in life, to share with you what few grand moments come my way.
He really means that, too, fellas. Last year, he let me carry his Oscar home for him. Of course, I had to shine it all night.
Hope is the plastic surgeon quipped when he copped a peek at your beak. Let's get to the point.
Okay, Harry the hipster, get this, Bing. It is now our privilege to introduce General Ike Eisenhower.
Oh, now listen, if you're on more intimate terms with Army protocol, you'd refer to the general as General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Oh, I don't know him well enough for that. But, Bing, seriously, there's just one thing that worries me about our introducing General Eisenhower.
That is?
What can we say about so great an American?
Bob, I really don't think there are enough first-class adjectives kicking around to do the job justice.
So what do you think we'd better say?
Let's just say men and women of the armed forces, the chief of staff, United States War Department General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
This command performance is being brought to you in honor of Army Day, a day set apart to honor the achievements of the Army of the United States and the men who have fought that our nation might continue to enjoy the liberty to which we are dedicated. Like most things that are good and great, the American Army had its spontaneous birth in an hour of need. That need was freedom. The sturdy farmers who gathered at Lexington and Concord were the magnificent seed from which our present great fighting force was born. Through the years, at the Alamo, San Juan Hill, Chateau Thierry, the Normandy Beachhead, Okinawa, Luzon, the battle for freedom had been waged by men in the fighting uniform of the United States. A year ago, we were in the midst of a titanic struggle against the forces of darkness which would have enslaved the world, cut off our freedom. In Europe, we were wading a bloody river along the German border. In the Pacific, we were blasting the enemy from the hillsides, measuring advances almost by inches. Today, the battles have been won, but the victory is an empty one if it does not lead to a just and lasting peace. Today, millions of servicemen are aiding in a campaign intended to produce greater understanding among men and nations, an understanding which is vitally necessary to peace. One of the terms which we have given this post-battle campaign is reconversion. There is reconversion at home, in the crossroad towns and great metropolitan cities, just as there is reconversion in Germany or in those areas of the Pacific that had once been held by Japan. The changeover from war to peace is not an easy one. No one pretends that it is, and no one denies that it is a sacred mission. It is the mission of the men of the armed forces, who are instruments of the will of the people of America and of all peoples who want their children to grow up in a sane and serene world. It is the job of the men of the armed forces to see that the enemies of humanity cannot again make war. Occupation may be defined as simply as that. The depth of our responsibility in accomplishing this mission can be measured in the number of lives that were given to ensure the victory. Their sacrifice is like a flame of freedom. We can let no one, nor no thing, extinguish it. And so, on this Army Day, we are reminded that we are the American Army, one in thought and being with those who fought and died that we, as a nation, might be free. Neither you nor I can ever forget this heritage.
We've not much longer here to stay, for in a month or two we'll bid farewell to Cadet Gray and don the Army Blue. Army Blue.
Infantry, you march, you march, you march. What do you do when your pack has got your back as stiff as stars? And what do you do in the infantry? You march, you march, you march. This is the Army, Mr. Green. We like the barracks.
frown. You and your baby went to town. She had you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore.
Over hill, over dale, we have hit the dusty trail, and those caissons go rolling along. In and out, hear them shout, counter marching right about, and those caissons go rolling along. Then it's
hey, hey, hey.
In the field artillery, sound off your numbers loud and strong.
Two, three,
wherever you go, you will always know that those caissons are rolling along.
A special command performance in observance of Army Day, and included a message from the Chief of Staff, General Dwight D. Eisenhower, to his troops overseas. The program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is Harry Bonzell speaking. Radio service.